Welcome to the Try Self-Love podcast. I'm your host, Becky Barber, and I'm a master life and relationship coach.
I'm your host, Kristen Dicker, and I'm a transformational health and wellness life coach.
If you're curious about what self-love is, you've come to the right place.
Each week, we'll dive deeper into the steps it takes to develop self-love. Here we go. Welcome to the Try Self-Love podcast, episode 11 on self-compassion. I'm Kristen Dicker, your co-host, and my co-host, Becky Barber, is also with me. Hey, Becky, how are you today?
I'm great, Kristen. How are you doing?
I'm doing really, really well. Thank you. I'm excited for our topic. And we have discussed self-compassion and loving ourselves deeply. Of course, that's what our whole podcast is about. So we've talked a lot about that so far. Self-compassion specifically, according to Kristen Neff, who is a clinical psychologist, she does a lot of self-compassion work. And her definition is self-compassion involves treating yourself the way you would treat a friend who is having a hard time. Even if your friend blew it or is feeling inadequate or is just facing a tough life challenge. So sometimes when we have a friend who has a problem, we do treat them really well, right? We don't tell them they need to just like get over it, or we don't tell them that it's their fault that somebody didn't want to stay in their life. We try to show them love and compassion and understanding instead of just telling them that they're wrong and judging them. But often we will do that with ourselves and our inner critic, our gremlin, our critter brain, whatever we want to call it. Our ego will try to keep us, you know, obeying the laws by, you know, giving ourselves a lot of judgment about how we've acted instead of love. So it's really a strong value system or characteristic quality if you can learn to be more compassionate with yourself in order to feel just a sense of calmness, safety, and self-love. So what do you think about all this so far, my friend?
Yeah, I really love Kristen Neff's definition of that. So the word compassion, actually the definition is to suffer with. And so when you think about it in those terms, as you mentioned with the friend, if they're having a hard time, you're in it with them, you're suffering with them. But it's so much harder when it's us that's suffering. It's like, how do you suffer with yourself? You're usually like, oh, you're fine, get over it, those things that you mentioned. But we're excited about this episode to try and help people figure out a nicer approach and how to give themselves that self-love, that self-compassion and understanding, which really does a lot more good than the negativity and the judgment.
Absolutely. You know, there are a lot of things that create a disconnect between ourselves and our own self-compassion. And we have discussed shame and anger and fear, sadness, grief. But shame is such a big one because there's often a sort of feeling of having to be a perfectionist in the way we think about ourselves. And when we get over that sort of black and white thinking, or I have to do it right or else I'm wrong, and we stop shaming ourselves for mistakes we've made or just, you know, living life and doing the best we can because we didn't have our needs met and we really didn't know consciously that we were doing something wrong. Once we learn that we can forgive ourselves because we just didn't know better and stop the shame cycle, then it's easier to get into self-compassion and really just understanding ourselves. Like, why was it that I did that? Instead of judging, like ask ourselves with curiosity, why was I acting that way? Why did I say that rude thing? You know, why did I think that I was better than someone, or, you know, whatever we were doing at the time, or worse than someone? So shame is a big one that can lead to just an avoidance of ourselves and holding ourselves in a prison of, you know, we're wrong all the time. And if we can get out of that shame cycle, we can more easily get into self-compassion.
Yeah, I love that. And it's an important thing to learn. So in this episode, we're excited to have some baby steps. Self-compassion isn't something that you just develop. I mean, Kristen Neff, it took her 7 years. She's a researcher and she was at the University of Austin when she came up with all these ideas and tips for self-compassion. So what we wanted to offer in this episode is just a few baby steps, almost like a pre-course before you can even jump into the larger the larger goal of loving yourself and being able to do this self-compassion every day. One of the first tips is to treat yourself with kindness. And so what I always tell my clients is to do some basic self-care. Instead of like eating on the go all the time, actually sit down while you're eating, take a few deep breaths, pay attention, notice the food, what it tastes like. I mean, usually we're in such a hurry that we just shovel it down so we can run to the next thing. So it's important to take a moment and pay attention to your body and give it healthy foods that are going to give you the energy that you need to keep doing all that you're doing. We know you're doing a lot. Another tip for self-care is to rest if you need it, especially like a mental rest. Go for a walk if you need that outdoor opportunity to grab some sunshine and get some fresh air. One thing that's important is to shower every day. When my kids were little, I was like, I live in America, we have running water. One of my basic human rights is to shower every day. And it really does make such a big difference in my mental health. I don't know about you, Kristen.
Yes, definitely. I do like to shower. I do like to be clean every so often.
No, I'm not saying that you don't. That you don't shower. These are just tips to you. It's how you show yourself that you matter. So that's really the first step, mm-hmm. is just showing yourself some kindness and that you matter too.
Definitely, I like that. That's a really good one. Even just meeting our own basic needs is just showing us that we love ourselves. So the self-care and kindness step is really more important than we realize sometimes. And once we have like our food and our shelter and our physical needs all met, it's so much easier. You feel so much more of a sense of safety about yourself and structure almost, that it's almost like from that base, that foundation, you can step up into more self-love and self-compassion. So it's a great first step. What's your second one? Do you have a second one here?
Yeah, so the second step is to practice forgiveness of yourself, which is so difficult sometimes. But I always ask my clients to think back, like, is there something in your past that you're just constantly beating yourself up over? Let's acknowledge that it was a mistake. Say it out loud to yourself. I did X. This is how I'm feeling because of it, if it's regret, pain, or sorrow. Then I want them and you, our listeners, to just accept you've probably beaten yourself up sufficiently. Like, it's not going to do any more good to keep ruminating over it. And allow yourself to consider you really were doing the best that you knew at the time. It's like you just mentioned, you know, we're really doing the best that we can with what we've been given. So forgive yourself for what happened and know that if you did have a time machine, of course you would go back and do it differently, but we don't. And that's how life is. No one's perfect. So you do whatever repair work that you can, and then you really try to forgive yourself.
Amazing. I was reading my Power of Now book by Eckhart Tolle recently again. And, you know, when you're not conscious of your behavior, you don't have a choice. Because you don't know you're doing it. You don't know what you're doing. It might seem funny when you look at people and you think, how could they do that? Don't they know any better? They might not. They actually might not, even if it's in the media or on social media or anywhere in life. And even if you have rules about it in your life, in your family or your religion or anything, people are sometimes not aware of what they're doing. And when you're not aware of something, you don't have a choice. As soon as you are aware, you have a choice, and then you can forgive yourself. So even if you didn't know you did that thing, or you just are kind of aware of it, still forgive yourself because you didn't know better. And it's not excusing bad behavior. It's just, you know, if you give yourself that freedom to forgive yourself, what happens is you're less likely to do that behavior again in the future. As soon as you're aware of it and you've forgiven yourself, that's your pivot point. You know, that's like, okay, I know I did that. I'm not doing that again. Or you can choose to do it again if you want to. Your choice, you know, but have compassion and forgiveness, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last baby step we want to give our listeners is, and it goes along with this forgiveness of yourself, but if what you've been holding on to seems really large or that it's too hard to forgive, then just allow yourself to press pause. Like, you're going to stop berating yourself momentarily, and your brain is going to be like, no, we're terrible. We have to keep telling ourselves we don't want to make this mistake again. Yeah, okay, brain, I get it. We're going to come back to it. But right now, it's just a small break. We need to be conscious of we're constantly beating ourselves up, and that's not going to get us where we want to get. And if our brain is insistent on it, there's nothing wrong with taking a little break. I also like to assign to my clients to try and look for the good that they're doing. And I usually get some grumbling. My clients don't like that assignment, but it does do a lot of good because it shifts the focus and it lets them see they're not 100% bad. No one is 100% bad. No one is 100% good. But we're so negatively skewed sometimes, it's important to just take that pause on beating yourself up and look for something that you're doing right, because I guarantee there's a lot that you're doing right.
Yeah, gratitude goes a long way, and we will talk more about that in upcoming episode. But even just celebrating the little wins, you know, they may not seem big, but that adds up to bigger wins over time, and it adds up to behavior change over time. So celebrating even the smallest things, giving yourself a little pat on the back for doing something right, even if you just walked a straight line, you know, that day, just that's something, you know, celebrate it.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because isn't it so true? Like, we're usually waiting to be done, quote unquote, done before we can celebrate. And P.S., you're never going to be done. So try and find those little wins along the way, and it'll really add to the momentum for the really big wins that you're asking of yourself down the road.
Yeah, I love that. Those are some great tips, and I think those are very helpful. Just wanted to point out just a little bit more about ways to sort of identify that you're having, you know, sometimes it can be hard to notice when you're talking badly about yourself. And the way you notice sometimes is through how you feel in your body. So becoming calmer, taking deeper breaths, and just kind of staying in your body and noticing when you feel something might alert you to, what was I just thinking, or what did I just feel about myself or think about myself, in order to create this feeling of dread, anxiety, anger, sadness, grief, whatever in my body. And also having the mindset of like, okay, just because I think this thing, or just because I'm perceiving that I, you know, am not worthy, that's a belief and a thought pattern. That's not reality. That's not the reality of who you really are. So, you know, just acknowledging that, you know, kind of stepping away from the shame spiral. And a way to do that also is to just sort of, when you do notice, kind of give it a name, like give that gremlin or give that shame or whatever you're calling it, give that inner critic a name. Think of the biggest, ugliest, bullyingest person you know, or entity you know, a troll, a gremlin, you know, a boss you've had or something like that, who is just really like a nag, like, don't do that. And make it kind of dissociate from it, because then you can kind of see it. And then if it's a person, you can almost be like, yeah, thanks for the information. I'll take that into consideration. And not really go into the like soap opera drama with that thing. Just kind of like, okay, I notice you. Thank you. And then, you know, without resisting it and without making it bad, just acknowledge it.
Yeah, no, I love that you brought that up. I just want to remind our listeners for a deeper dive on thoughts. That's episode 2. And then feelings, feeling all the feelings. That's episode 3. We have a thought journal that you can download, and we'll include it in these show notes as well. But that's from episode 2, where you're, like you were talking about, you trying to step back and like figure out what are the thoughts that are driving this behavior, and what's the pattern? You have to be aware before you can change any of your patterns. So I'm really glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I think that's just, it's a way to get into self-compassion, because if we notice those thoughts and then we can sit there and ask ourselves, why do I think I'm not worthy? Or what makes me believe I'm not worthy? How was this created in me? And is this true? You know, and really just challenge them, or else make them neutral, you know, and so they're not so powerful. You know, they drive our bus a lot. And once we realize that we don't have to make the decision anymore that we're unworthy, it's very freeing. It's like, oh, I didn't know I had that choice. In fact, I didn't even know this was this much of an issue for me. But you'll notice if it's an issue for you by your life circumstance and what's happening in your life that isn't working very well. So look at your life situation, feel your body, notice your thoughts. Any of those three things can get you into a space of just being very present with yourself. And once you're in that calm, present space, then you can actually realize and make a different decision, have more love for yourself and compassion and just forgiveness and all the things that we've talked about. And it really can shift the way you think. You just become more mindful overall.
Yeah, I wanted to share a story about a client that I was working with last year. And she and her husband had some difficulties financially because of COVID. And unfortunately, they had to move back in with her difficult person. And she would talk to me about what was going on and some of the things that this person would say to her. And she was like, you know, I get so angry and I feel bad for her because I know her life story, so I shouldn't be so mad. And she wanted to come from a place of compassion for this person who really was quite abusive. And I understand and appreciate that she wanted that compassion, but I was trying to get her to the point where she had compassion for herself first. It's really hard to give from an empty well. So I'd have her step back and try and understand, like, well, maybe you're feeling this way because she's saying this or this is happening. Anyway, it was important for her to recognize that it was okay for her to feel the way she was feeling. She did end up being able to show that compassion to this person and to herself. But like you were talking about, it's a process. I highly recommend working with a coach on this if this is your situation in your life. She was able to get where she wanted to be, and it was so empowering for her. And this is happening all the time. So this is not just a once-in-a-lifetime kind of story. This can happen for anyone. So I highly encourage, if you're having troubles with a difficult person in your life, you don't even have to be living with them, but we all want to show up kindly and with compassion, but sometimes it's very difficult to do on your own. It's really hard to break these patterns and unravel the beliefs that, as you said, drive our bus. So there's my plug for coaching.
I love it. And I love the story. And I also was just aware of the fact that it's so true that when we approach others and ourselves, especially with a full cup of self-love and self-compassion, that's what's pouring out of our pores, right? When we show up where all we do all day is judge ourselves for not being better, not being, you know, measuring up and being more perfect at this, that, and the other thing, not being thin enough, not being the best working person at our jobs, you know, the best student, whatever it is, a big one is the best mother, right? You know, if I'm not the best mother on the block, my kids are going to be in prison, you know.
It's endless. Yeah, it's endless. It's so true, especially as women. I feel like society and ourselves, we just put it all on top. And if we're not the best, like you just said, if we're not the best, somehow we're not good at all. And Krista Neff actually talks about that. She talks about like the pitfalls of self-esteem. You kind of, it's relative to how you're doing compared to other people. And so we're actually all quite average in a lot of things, which can be a hurtful thought if you approach it that way. But instead, recognize we're all human. We all struggle. No one is perfect. I still love myself. I still love the people in my life. That's a better, stronger position to hold than trying to be the best at something. It's just a precarious situation that you can never win at.
Yeah, you can never win at it because your mind, that part of your mind that needs to be right and wrong, is really more designed for like making math problems right and wrong. It's never going to know. It's never going to give you the thing you want when it comes to emotions and feelings and judging yourself. It's just going to tell you, well, Susan eats this stuff, so she's right, and you eat this stuff, so you're wrong, and this is why you look this way, and Susan looks that way. You know, you can go on and on and on, right?
Right.
And it's a loop, and it's an addictive pattern we get involved in, and then it's just like, I may as well do nothing. I may as well just eat Burger King every single day then. I don't care. I'm just never going to exercise again. And that doesn't build self-compassion because it builds self-judgment. When you have that kind of trash talk in your head all day, you're going to give that to other people in your life. It's just going to be the way you naturally speak as a result of how you speak to yourself. So that can be very toxic for relationships and yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Very toxic. And I think we'd be surprised at how mean we are to ourselves daily if we'd take a step back and listen to what's really going on. And I think it's funny you brought up Burger King. I can't remember the last time I ate there, but I did love their Whopper.
I love their chicken sandwich. It's been a while for me too.
Right.
But yeah, like it's almost like, you know, you can be a person who thinks they're doing it the right way, and there's never enough right way. There's always going to be somebody who does it better than you and somebody who does it worse than you. And to think that you're ever going to be better than somebody else, I mean, that's, you know, and that might not even be a conscious thought, but to at least be able to maintain the status quo with somebody, it's not going to work, because there's going to be some other part of your life that doesn't measure up to, you know, I have all straight A's and plus, you know, I'm, you know, the best athlete in my school and I'm also the best cook. And, you know, there's going to be some area of your life where you're not the best at something. And then for some reason, you might start thinking you're the worst at things because you're not the best at the one area that, you know, out of 10 other areas. And you're just never going to win that game of trying to be better than or the best, because there's always somebody who's going to come along and there's going to be somebody who's better. And you're just going to want to give up and hate yourself instead of just saying, hey, you know, like Kristen F. said, and you just said, Becky, you know, we're all kind of, you know, good at some things. I mean, it's just not necessarily that we're all perfectly wonderful. And maybe you have one area of your life that you're really great at, but if you build your life on a foundation of sand like that, you're not going to have a very sturdy home. There has to be a foundation of, I love myself because I exist, you know, not because I've done anything to earn love. And when I've made mistakes, that's okay. That's part of being human. I didn't mean to hurt somebody like I did or hurt myself this way. Now that I know, I will do better next time. And that's creating a solid foundation inside yourself that you can build a house from.
Yeah, I really appreciate your comment on judgment too, because really judgment's not going to get us anywhere, whether we're judging others or ourselves. It's not a great place to come from, because there's no winning. And if you have to put other people down to feel good about yourself, then that's not true self-love either. So I appreciated that comment. One way to get away from that, as you mentioned, is just recognizing, hey, I'm doing a pretty good job. I'm all right. Like, I love my kids. They know I love them. My people in my life know that I'm here for them. And most importantly, I'm here for myself. And I'm not going to do it perfectly, and that's okay. I still am doing a pretty decent job.
Yeah. It's almost like a relief to hear that when you said that. It's a relief to like feel that way. Like, oh, all right. I'm just like everybody else. I'm doing the best I can, just like we all are, you know, but it's like, I don't have to be the best at everything. I can just be myself, whatever that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So this has been really, really amazing. I'm really glad that we had this conversation, and I'm sure we'll have more like it, because there's so much to say about self-compassion, but
yeah.
I think you guys get a pretty good idea of kind of the basics of at least trying to use some tips to get aligned a little bit more in self-compassion and practice some tools around that. Definitely consider reaching out to a coach or a therapist or somebody who has the tools to help you through this process, because it is a process, and learning and healing is not linear. As I think I mentioned, it is a 2 steps forward, 1 step back. So don't give up on yourself. If you mess up and make mistakes, have compassion for yourself, because it's part of life that when we're human, we don't know all the answers. We're doing the best we can. So yeah.
Yeah. I just want to say, like we talked about, this episode is just a little precursor. We're going to talk about some self-compassion again, but yeah, don't give up on yourself and just find a way to be kind. That'll go a lot farther.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for listening in this week. And we look forward to chatting with you next week again, Becky. And everybody have just a wonderful week.
Okay, just remember, self-compassion is a practice. So don't beat yourself up if you're not good at it.
Totally.
All right, talk to you later, Kristen.
Yeah, you too, Becky. Bye.
Bye. If you like what you've been learning about self-love, come join us in our free Facebook group, Try Self-Love. We'd also appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast. That way your friends and family and others who need us can find us.
We're so glad you're here. See you next week.